Blog Talk Radio.
About a new season, it's washing away the old, bringing about new opportunity to be refreshed. So I think it falls right in line with the Royals, you know, even though they have a tradition of being old school and keeping things the way it should be, but Meghan Markle's shaking things up.
Well, yeah, she is. She is shaking things up, and I know you got a glimpse of the Royals as well. Give me your initial thoughts. A big deal here. This big royal wedding. People are having parties, this and the other. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I just think that she sparkled out there. She had great dress on. She's making Harry more of the prince that he should be. I think that he, being a sports guy, he's got the big catch in a sense, and everybody's eyes are on them.
Well, I think it's cool. I mean, I saw some things that maybe were non-traditional that I'm sure had Meghan's flavor on it. So So it's a good thing. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show as well. We'll bring it back up again. How about these Raptors here? Now, I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm definitely not saying I'm prophetic. But I did say early on the Extra Points radio show last year that Toronto's coach, Coach Gentry, would be fired if he comes up against LeBron again and gets swept. And that's exactly what happened. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, rightfully so. First of all, you said DeRozan, which his name is DeRozan, but the way that you said it has a great phonetic saying of DeRozan, the fact that it's DeRozan. There's been just a decline in this play, and it might be with the coaching and the relationship or lack thereof, and you saw it when he benched him in the fourth quarter in a very pivotal game. So I just think that the rapture came a sense against them, and it was evident that they had to get a coaching change in quick.
Well, and you know what? Toronto was the number one seed to go out in the second round in a sweep. It's unacceptable, second year in a row. So hey, listen, we're going to do something a little bit different. We tried it a couple weeks ago with the pay attention topic, and of course, we always do our pay attention topic. Let me just run down the show for everybody real quick. Today, we're going to get our pay attention topic, as always. Then when we come back from that and take a quick break, when we come back from that, Joy's going to talk to us a little bit about injuries. And everyone knows that's a very vague and huge topic, but we're going to shrink it into about 15 minutes of just some things around injuries because, hey, if you're hurt, you can play. If you're injured, you can't. So we'll talk about injuries. And then, of course, we'll do our regular two-minute warning and our predictions for the week, and the show moves fast. So Fit with Joy, tell me now, pay attention topics. I know you got three of them for me to comment on, and then you got the big one for the week, which is the one where I'll hit the button for. So give me the first one. What's out the gate on your pay attention topic?
Well, pay attention topic, PAT, point at the touchdown in reference to football. Now we got big, big, big game tonight, and that could be a royal wedding of sorts if you want to put that in the sports world with King James. He's been knighted the king for some time as he takes the team on his shoulder, he takes the court, and he literally brings it to everyone. Is he able to kind of even the score a little bit, at least get one win out of the Celtics? And what do you say?
I think he can. I think right now he's the best player in the NBA, period. So anytime you've got your team as the best player in the league, you've got a chance to win one game. So I think they not only win one game, I think they go on and win the series. I don't know how, though, because Boston's a formidable opponent. But I just, again, when you got the best player in the entire league, you got a chance. No one ever bet against Michael Jordan. I don't know anyone who's betting against LeBron James. I'm down with LeBron. I'm down with Cleveland. They win that series.
Okay, and then you said LeBron James and Michael Jordan. That was pretty interesting because I had something about the throne, again, right along with the royal wedding theme. As far as the actual crown, the actual throne, is this give him that extra nudge, the extra notch underneath his belt?
Well, you know, that's a good question, and it's often debated and often argued. Not for me. For me, Michael Jordan is the greatest professional basketball player of all time. And part of the reason why I say it is not only did he transcend sport, you know, through his marketing and the Air Jordan and this and that, but the number of rings he had. I mean, LeBron just doesn't have the same number of rings. They're average players that have two or three rings, and they didn't play anything. So I would need LeBron to catch Jordan and possibly surpass him in order to even say that he's the greatest of all time. And in my eyes, it's King Jordan, not King LeBron. But he can hold the crown for right now, right? He can hold it for right now, but not for all time, not. So.
Okay, well, let's hurry along with this crown talk in the sense of we've got the triple crown. We got those that are trying to figure out who's going to bring it home and that kind of sense. We got Baltimore, not too far away from there right now, the Preakness. What say you? Who are you betting on if you are? What kind of understanding do you have with this weather in tow and how that affects the horses out there and the jockeys?
Well, you know, 2 weeks ago we did the show, and one of the predictions was who was going to win the Kentucky Derby, and I went with the odds-on favorite, which is a 7-2 favorite, and Justify. I'm going to stay with that today. Now, I will say this about Justify: it's money, it's real money. I mean, they're just going to be kind of just. I'm sure this is going to be a very slow time. So, quite honestly, it's anybody's race. I have not looked at the odds. I need to do that. Maybe put a little wager in. But when a guy, when a horse is 7-2, that's a pretty strong favorite. That means if you put $2 down, you'll win $7. That's not much of a bet. So I'm going to stay with Justify, and I think I have a justifiable reason why, which is he's the fastest horse in the race on a really muddy track. So unless he slips and falls, I think he's in good shape.
Well, you bring up interesting points, the justification, the slipping and fall, and the injuries in tow. Did you know, I'm sure you should, but hey, this is the sports world, and different stories out there, that if a sport of a horse, the actual injury occurs, that they can no longer be at their peak, their best, that they are put to rest, literally physically, like they shoot them and kill them. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that. That's the tough part about the sport. Some they put out for breed new horses, but for the most part, yeah, they put them down.
Right. You just imagine if that was in a human sense. I'll rest the case there. Get your imaginary on who would be put.
No, I mean you're right. Yeah. Right, I wouldn't be able to concentrate. I mean, if I'm running a 100-yard dash and I know in 10 seconds I'm going to be worm food, that's not pretty good. So I'd probably lose on purpose. So that, hey, I'm not in beat shape yet. So
thankfully, in my case, the injury was just that I lost the scholarship at Penn State, and that my life was hurt, literally physically.
That you don't want that. What's the next pay attention topic?
Well, Just paying attention to injuries and the fact that they could be, in some sense, life or death. They could be life in the sense of your livelihood. Some people weren't able to go ahead and be the superstar that they could be. We could talk about Greg Oden. He was a tremendous athlete at Ohio State and didn't do anything in the NBA. And so as far as the injury portion of the potential, just thinking about Derrick Rose, thinking about all those who've been injured and how they've been able to bounce back. What could you say about that?
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, you know, injuries are part of every sport and every game. And I think what is most troublesome to me is the neck-up effect that an injury has. Here's what I mean by that. When an athlete goes down, they're not invincible anymore. They're not Superman or Superwoman, and it's very lonesome. And the athletes who I think have a strong support system around them, whether it be the athletic training staff, the team doctors, coaches, friends and family, whatever it is, I think those athletes are the ones that are able to bounce back, come back around, and do a good job and actually be better than they were prior to the injury. But it's the ones that kind of wallow by themselves, don't have great training facilities, miss their training, regimen, don't do what's told by the athletic staff, and really don't even have an encouraging word from family and friends, teammates, and that. I think those are the ones that struggle from the neck up to get back to optimum performance. So I know when I was coaching, I always tried to watch those type of athletes and make sure I could try and stay close to them, and when I couldn't, that someone else could. So that's kind of how I am on the injury front. You just got to be careful, not only for the injury, but for the psychological toll that it takes on an athlete.
And that was definitely a great bonus point, and segue from that PAT to even more two-point conversion, in the sense that it's not just physical. So we all can visibly see that someone probably broke their ankle or they can't walk properly, so there's a ligament sprain somewhere there. But as far as the effects after that, when they physically have been able to heal, their mentality, I can tell you that I've seen it in track and field in multiple events and also sports where you're not sure. Like you said, you're not invincible anymore. You now have that sense of this is a possibility of me re-injuring. And now you have the thought process in your mind that replays of how it felt. So you're hesitant. You're not as aggressive. You're not as attackful as you would have been. That's the word in a sense. But the fact that this is National Mental Health Awareness Month, it's going into the fact that we go back to the Raptors and DeMar DeRozan and his coming out, and many of us know that he suffered from depression. It doesn't matter how much money you have, what height of your career, what clout, it affects everyone.
Well, it most definitely does. I mean, it's something that you got to pay attention to. And, you know, we're going to get back into injuries when we come after break. Tell me what your final pay attention topic is for the day. Sorry, hit the button.
Well, that's just it. The pay attention topic is, it's, as we know, that it's Mental Health Awareness Month, and that injuries, as people can physically see them, there are those that aren't as noticeable that we need to pay attention to, that we need to lend a hand and support, whether you're on the track, the court, any kind of field of life. It's just that life is a game, and you have to play it well. And you need teammates, you need coaches, you need that supporting cast to be there for you, even if you're not physically being shown those things that can affect a person, but you need to check in and see how they're doing mentally as well.
Ba-boom, ba-boom. I mean, you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, I think about sometimes you don't have to be injured to suffer from mental health. I mean, we don't know, for the Cats, for example, you know, I talk about them all the time and how I really believe that even players on the Capitals team that weren't on the team now, have played on previous teams, they still know that there's a stigma that the Cats tend to choke in the playoffs. And so what's tough is, you know, I've said it many times on this show, the X Sports Radio show, I think they could use a sports psychiatrist to get over that injury of losses year after year after year, devastating, heartbreaking losses. And I know you would understand as an athlete, there's been a race or there's been a game or something, you drop a pass. I still agonize over certain play calls. I don't think I need mental health for it, but I still do agonize over, you know, oh, I shouldn't have kicked that kid off the team, or, oh, I shouldn't have let that kid back on the team. These things have nothing to do with physical injury. It's just wear and tear on the mind. So while sports is a great place to grow the mind and that sort of thing and have so many positives, for some, it has negatives that they just can't get over for a lifetime. I think about kickers. There's some kickers out there who, if you interview them, their life is ruined. What was the kicker for Buffalo that went wide right, and he cost them Scott Norwood. He cost them a Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm sure you've seen some athletes in your travel who've gone through.
He blows it sometimes.
Well, yeah.
Blew it. Yeah.
Right. I mean, a kicker named Blew It. Go ahead.
Well, hey there, Fit with Joy tidbit, you just touched on it a little bit to say that the Cats, we're here in the Washington, greater Washington, DMV area, where sports is a big thing. You got those who are looking for the playoffs of the Cats to do something, and they were hot, and they were doing really well, and then the lightning struck, and it's like, is this going to happen again? And that psychology, that we've been here before, and it's not just the professional athletes, but the fans. They go through this mental turmoil. They go through that, is this going to be the same thing again? Are we going to get our hopes up high? And I think that the fact that when I say fit with joy, it's the fit that a lot of people, again, see how you look, the appeal. The Cats look great throughout the beginning of the season, but the wit, do they have the wherewithal to bring it home? to overcome the past, to be able to say we've learned from the experience, and now we know how to capitalize on this event. And I think you're right. They need to bring in somebody because they're starting to see this is the same old song, and they have to come a head case for that matter.
Well, and, you know, the other thing about that, too, is, you know, using that example, I think it's all about consistency. So while you don't – you can't win every game, you can't win any playoff – every playoff series, but if you look at the teams that are great or the organizations that are great, so I take, like, the Pittsburgh Steelers, for example. Now, I'm not a fan of the Steelers, but I'm a fan of the way they do business. And they do – they are always a fit organization. You know, they just kind of do things the right way. They pay a certain amount of money. They're not known for being the biggest payer. You could have a stable career there with not a lot of drama. And if you want to make a big payday somewhere else, they'll let you do it. Just perform for them for 2 or 3 years. I think they have the wherewithal to go through. They rarely have media issues. I mean, just think, their starting quarterback was accused of a horrible crime, and no one even talks about it, you know. So I think that their fans are happy because it's all about consistency. What you can't do is allow any of those steps along the way to be inconsistent, because when it's inconsistent, then you don't know what to expect other than probably something not good. So I'll give an example, the home team here, the Redskins, that they've been inconsistent in their play. They'll start out 2-0, and they're about to go to the Super Bowl. Right, that's what DC fans said, and then they lose like 6 out of the next 8, and then you got a problem, you know. And then they'll win 3 in a row, and then they'll lose 4 in a row. That kind of thing, that kind of inconsistency, is horrible. And before I throw it back to you, I'll just add this one last thing: consistent inconsistency is really bad, and I think that's what's happened. If you look at our two NBA franchises, I know you're a big Knicks fan, I'm a big Wizards fan. But these teams have consistently been inconsistent. You know, they haven't won for so long that losing is now kind of their thing. They just go get another coach and try it again. And for the fan, that's just not a way to enjoy what's supposed to be a game. So what say you to that?
Well, definitely when you talk about the inconsistent consistency of you expect these people to do things that are out of the norm and spontaneously mess up, and just you are looking for that. So it's predictable, the preposterous behavior that they do. And it is an oxymoron in a sense, but the fan becomes accustomed to that. And they are conditioned. And the condition is, I know that if this happens, that I don't know what's going to happen, but they're going to do something ridiculous. And so the conditioning, and to be able to prepare for that injury, the hurt, I mean, I like how you differentiated between hurt and injury. And then what happens is you get hurt. The fan gets hurt. They expect a win because they prepared. They had all the different X's and O's and the play schemes and the lineup, the practices, all went well. And it's funny because in track and field, they'll use the term, you're a practice queen. You do really well in practice, but when you get out on the track, you just totally just, you know, have cold feet. And so with that, the fan is expected. They're looking for that win. And then they get hurt. They're like, oh, that's an upset. And then what consistently happens, that inconsistency, like you did well in practice, you did well in the preseason, you did well in the season, and then you're just pretty much having hiccups and just regurgitating the opposite. It's now, wait, what just happened? But it's year after year, they get so used to being hurt and re-injured that they haven't conditioned themselves. They have conditioned themselves for that inconsistent consistency, and in a sense, they've unconditioned themselves to being able to overcome it, and they're not prepared when it turns on the other side, when they actually win. So the Caps were just able to shock everybody, right? Everyone's mentality was like, okay, here we go again, Pittsburgh, Sidney Crosby, we're going to hear the same thing. And then, boom, we all shocked our psyches in seeing that they were able to overcome and get to the next level. And now, all of a sudden, we're 2-0. We're going great against Tampa Bay. Now we're like further in this frenzy. And then here we go, back to that slump, the inconsistent consistency where the fans have become hurt and they're being injured again.
They need a sports psychiatrist in the worst way. So let's take a quick break. We're right up on 10:25. Let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about injury, because the bottom line is this. It doesn't matter whether you're getting paid to play a sport or not. If you're injured and you can't play, then your teammates, that's affecting the fans. But it's affecting you the most, because there's always someone looking to replace you, always. So let's take a quick break. Chuck, take us out, and we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show.
So I'm glad you brought it up at its highest level. But now let's think about
Cardozo High School, and you don't even have the scholarship yet. It's not intact. If that patella injury happens in your senior year, I mean, in my opinion, you're suffering from the same thing that Bryce offers. It's a loss of money. And maybe you don't get the scholarship. I mean, these injuries can be absolutely devastating to the team and to the fan base, but especially to the person who's injured.
Oh, it's astronomical. It can change the trajectory of your entire livelihood in the sense of where you're going, who's going to be your supporting cast. All those different things factor in. And quite frankly, it can totally just mess with your mental state. You could, again, like I said earlier in the show, not have that confidence in yourself, not physically be able to endure what you've experienced because of that pain, the physical pain, but then unsure of yourself because you can re-injure yourself. Or, again, you no longer have that interest or that letter of intent beaming at you from University of Miami or UCLA or Texas or LSU, just to name a few. And so that could definitely, definitely mess with you.
You know, I've been thinking about some. I've seen some horrible injuries. You know, I remember a player at Crossland breaking his leg. I knew it when it broke. I honestly felt like I heard it. That's how close I was to it. But I think the worst injury I saw was a guy named Dean Caligari, University of Pittsburgh. He's a center, and like you, he's on full scholarship. He breaks his foot, and you could see the foot just kind of hanging, and he would not come out of the game for fear that the backup would take his place. He would never get on the field again, never get drafted, and have to go work a government job 9 to 5. So this guy was willing to play Division I football at 300 pounds on one foot rather than come out of the game. I mean, that's how extreme some of these injuries are. Now, you were fortunate enough to go to a Division I school. Tell us about how important the athletic staff, how important was that in your injury, in your case? How important was that?
Well, I like to always chime in on what you said before I delve into your question, because you bring up some pointed facts in the sense that in American football, it's, you know, not for long. So you can get injured and somebody's waiting that string to come in here and replace you. And if you think about, what is it, Joe Theismann, when Lawrence Taylor put that big hit on him, that was a tremendous-looking injury. Like, just the impact, just the fact that after it, you see the bone, the femur that is sticking out. I mean, come on, that's traumatic. That's something that not just physically plays on you, but it reminds you how gruesome it was and for him to overcome. And then let's even talk more about the quarterback and the snaps and all that comes into it, that any moment now, it could just, in a sense, end. When you think about Drew Bledsoe, I mean, look at Tom Brady. He's taking it over. So it's a mental turmoil of, if I am not there playing at my best, somebody can take my place. And that's just what happens when you go and you compete at these high levels against people. You start off at Cardozo, in my sense, and you're the best in the neighborhood. If you started off in club track, you're running around and you're beating everybody. And on the block in New York City, then you go from the block and you're in the playgrounds in your elementary and you're beating everybody in whatever event that may be. And then you go to junior high school and you step it up a notch, you start going to regional events and junior Olympics, and then you get looks from coaches that come by the nearby area for high schools, so you can come on their team. And then you run and you do really well in the cities and the states and things that may be nationals, and now you're getting that look. And so now you're leaving your walk of life, wherever you may be. For me, of course, it's New York City, and you're going to another city, you're going to another state, and you're not only just going there to compete,
you're going there to live. Thank God for that. Go ahead.
For what?
That you got to leave New York City. Thank goodness for that.
We have to be able, as the New Yorker, from the city that never sleeps, the Empire State, the financial capital of the world, the fashion district of it all, to bring forth the other world, the other places, how great we are, and make them just as great. You know, that's just what we do. And I won't get into that politics, because, you know, what that'll become of it. But back to forth that hand, you go and you stay with people from other walks of life where they were the best in their particular life. And now you're competing. Somebody might overshadow you. And then that consistent battle back and forth, even in practice, is one thing, especially with track and field, because as they say, it's an individual sport. You become a team in a sense when you do a relay, but even in a relay, you're like, I don't want to be the duck leg. I don't want to be the slowest. You're consistently
right. You don't want to be the slowest.
Yes, you do not. And so that battle, and so from the injury standpoint and understanding the competitive level, the body, and pushing it to its limits and things that's never experienced before, as I said, the conditioning, the resources. So now you're at another level. I went from, I jumped a couple of steps when I was telling you the process of what brought me to Penn State, but I went to different universities that didn't have the different resources, the facilities at hand to make me the best athlete that I could be. But at the same stance, injury is how you treat your body, how you prepare for that particular activity, that particular event. And so at that level, you're competing again against people that you've probably seen every once in a while, probably national, states, or something to that extent, but not every day. You're not getting up and having to wake up, go practice at 5 a.m. and run, and then come back after classes, right, as your scholar athlete. It's a different setting. So that body's the stress that plays on it. And it's just being able to condition yourself, not just physically, but mentally for that. So the support system, the coaching, the coaches back home who knew that you were capable and was glad that you made it to that level, encouraged you to sign a letter of intent. But they have to consistently be there when you call them and you're in tears because you're physically feeling it, but you're also mentally like, this person is getting the better of me, or I'm in front of her or him, and I know that they're gunning for me. And at any moment, I don't know how much my body can take. So it's that continual consistency of being able to compete.
Well, and sometimes it's funny because just to throw a little splash, a little humor on it, sometimes you don't have to be competing at a high level. I can think of two injuries that I've had in sports. And it had nothing to do with me competing. One was my first business meeting on a golf course in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I'm thinking I'm competing. And I want to swing the ball longer, drive it longer than any of the other guys, right? And so I swing, and I'm telling you, it felt like my back was in my stomach. And I had to be carted off. They had to call 911 to get a paramedic to get me off the 8-hole. I mean, that was tough. And then, of course, the other one was at the University of Pittsburgh, just randomly standing around throwing a ball up in the air, and here comes 275-pound Craig Ironhead Hayward to run me right over. Like, I mean, it was like an 18-wheeler to a Fiat. I mean, it was just, he just totally trucked me. So I was injured there too. So it doesn't always have to be at its highest level, but I can tell you, I've never been the same from those two events. I haven't picked up a golf club since. And when I'm on the football field, my head's on a swivel, whether I'm coaching, playing, whatever. So you're right. As it should be, right. So these injuries have a lasting effect on the brain. They absolutely do. Tell me about
before you ask me that question, because you did a great thing of segueing where my thought process was the high-level stuff and talking about my experiences competing, but also talking to the Joe Schmo, those who probably get off the couch and think, hey, I see somebody else do it. I'm going to go full blast and try to go after that. And that's where it comes in, where you can get injured. You have to be conditioned. You have to prepare your body for it. You have to gradually get up to it. Some people have the talent for that, and some people don't. Some people have the talent, but their body and their framework is injury-prone. And so there's so many different things at play. And when you talk about your experiences, I'm going to give you a fit with Tippett here. Which Royal had a pain-suffering American football playing? The same way you did.
Well,
which?
Yeah, I'm going to cheat here and say that was Harry, because I was in a pre-production meeting this morning and heard he looked up. But I got got to tell you, I think it was Harry. And you know what was funny, though? He looked like a fit, athletic guy, but he went out on an American football field for the first time, and boom, he gets an injury.
It's fun at that. And it's funny because I can relate where I've played, again, a number of sports, particularly I think the foundation of them all, track and field. I ran it. Not, you don't play track, you run it, right? That's business. Serious. You don't have a ball. You're going for a finish line. You're competing against yourself with a better time. I rest my case on that end. Back to the regular scheduled program at hand, literally and physically, I had to develop another discipline with my speed. As they say, it kills on the football field, and that was my specialty. I had to slow things down in a sense for my own self to look the ball in. And he said that he literally tried to catch the ball, and it broke his thumb. But not only that, after he suffered it, he pulled it back and then got cracked by a big guy. So it's just funny how you can relate no matter what gender, race, background, social class, financial status, that sports is the level playing field of it all.
Sports is the level playing field of it all. That's absolutely right. What I'd like to do now is we could talk about injury until who knows what, and we will bring that back up again by bringing in some athletic trainers to come in. I know that I've got a team doctor out there that's chomping at the bit to get on the air and talk about injury and that. So, Jordan, we appreciate you mentioning that. I'm going to switch over now to our two-minute warning, and then I want to get into our predictions because our predictions, I think, are four good ones that I want to have dialogue around. I don't want to rush through them, so I want to allow ample time for them. So, first, the two-minute warning. The two-minute warning is this. You're not alone. So, for those of you that are out there listening and you are injured, you're not alone. Whether you're prepping for surgery or you're in post-op or you're in rehab or wherever you are, you're not alone. There's a coach. There's always a coach out there, and that coach is way up high. He's way up high, and he's with you every step of your injury path. So you are not alone for those of you that are out there suffering from injuries. So, Joy, we've got some great predictions here. By the way, we are 38-30. And predictions well over 500. So I'm still looking for that Southwest Airlines ticket to Vegas. Now you can feel comfortable to take me to Vegas. The first prediction, I got Cleveland. You touched on this a little earlier, but we'll bring it back up again. I got Cleveland over Boston tonight. I think LeBron is not going to dilly-dally with this Boston team anymore. You don't want to get to where it's 3-2 Boston, because I think you could lose a series if it gets that far. So I got LeBron. I got Cleveland. What say you?
You're not alone. I'm with Cleveland on this one. King James, I think he's going to take the court. He's going to put everybody on his back like he's been doing. He's going to also administer some kind of defense. He's going to be able to lock down balls. He's going to get to the basket. He's going to do all. He's going to have to. He's going to try to conquer these Celtics. So I'm with you on that. You're not alone. Celtics, it's been nice. As a young team, you rose to this occasion. But King James and his court, they're there. They're ready for it.
Now, somewhat off topic, but staying with the Cavaliers, Tristan Thompson had a little bit of a transgression a couple weeks ago. That hasn't seemed to been a factor in this series at all. I would have thought, man, you cheat on your girlfriend or wife or whatever it is, that maybe
baby
that,
mama,
you
that
know, really affects.
Mama.
Yeah. But it didn't affect it. I mean, is that, I guess that's today's society, that, you know, stuff happens and you just go, oh, well, and you just go play the game the next day and not even worry about
it. It depends
about
on the personality, though. Right. It depends on the personality, right? Because if you look at the whole Kim Kardashian, and they play the sport of life pretty well, where they get the particular players, literally and physically, and they are able to use them and, I believe, manipulate them and play them as their part. And so Tristan Thompson, he's never really been that outspoken individual, that, to me, celebrity. He's a basketball player. He's on the court. He gets paid the millions, but he's not off the field as icon in a sense, of course, anywhere, shape, or form, like LeBron James, or even as small as J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith was known for taking his shirt off and Obama telling him to put it back on, you know, that kind of thing. He's not LeBron James in the figures and the points, but he has that presence in a sense off the field. And Tristan Thompson lacks that. And Khloe Kardashian and that whole clan, they have their particular players. Just if you look back, where Kim and what's the gentleman's name that we don't even know where he went off to in oblivion because he's no longer with Kim, right? I can't even remember.
Right.
He was on the Wizards at one point.
Chris Humphrey.
Exactly. And that's sad. I can't even remember. He had the same exact name as the momager, as the matriarch, and he just floated off into oblivion. So they play the game of life,
yes,
these players particularly well, and because he never was that big presence and personality off the court, it just went by the wayside. People just chucked it up like, okay, well, you know, she got with him when he had a baby or whatever the situation may be. She's also kind of like the B-roll player. She's kind of like a J.R. Smith on the Cavaliers for the Kardashians. Kind of not
him,
just like LeBron James is. So, you know, if you put the comparison there, you'll see why.
Well, let me come off the court and go back onto the ice where, you know, the love Cavs were up 2-0, and now it's 2-2, a critical game five. I got this series as over. You know, for me, they scored a shorthanded goal the other night, Toronto did, with 1 second left to make the final 4-2. In my opinion, that's going to be the series finale, 4-2. I got Toronto Tampa. I got the Tampa Bay Lightning beating the Caps, not only tonight, but finishing them off in D.C. on Monday night. What say you?
I think Lightning strikes twice. I do think the psychology of it all is that this D.C., Greater Washington, DMV area can't overcome it. They are not poised to be able to. If you look at the off the field, off the court, off the ice experiences and different incidents, you have one where one of the players goes to another place and they get racial epithets thrown at them. Then you got another team in this area who doesn't treat a particular members or class of individuals as well. The gender comes into play with the Me Too movement. And it just, the list goes on. You have the Wizards, and then you got one particular leader who he's not really there. Is he here? Is he heard? Is he a figure? Is he a leader at that fact? So I think that the psychology of this area and them being able to overcome off the field, off the court, off the ice, any particular game, and be able to do that, whether getting paid, it has lost them. And so I think for that fact, Lightning will strike twice, Tampa Bay over Cap.
Yeah, I got that too. And then, of course, the Nats, who've been really rained out a lot. I was disappointed that the Yankees couldn't get the full complement of games in. I know everybody around here wants to see Bryce Harper versus Aaron Judge. Baseball doesn't really work that way. So the Yankees have moved on back to New York and whoever they're playing. But the Nats continue here. They got rained out last night, so they're going to do a double-double with the Dodgers today with one daytime, one nighttime game. Here's the prediction. You think the Nats will lose both games? You think the Nats will win both games? Or you think they'll split with the Dodgers? The safe bet is they'll split. I'm going to go with they're going to lose both games. And I'll tell you why. I think they're going to lose both games because I still think the Dodgers may be better. You know, if they run out, they have equal pitching to the Nats, in my opinion. So when you've got equal pitching, it's just a matter of the ball dropping in a certain place. I got the Nats losing both games to the Dodgers at home, which could be implications down the road for playoffs. And that there's a big two games today. What say you?
Yeah, I've got it with you. I think we're on the same page all through the lines of these predictions, particularly I think Bryce Harper, he's ready to go to one of these teams and be a contender. So he'll probably go out there do his thing, but it won't be enough, and they'll fall twice in one day. So next, you're going to get swatted. The Dodgers will be able to come off with two on you.
All right, well, I hope not, because they need the wins. If they can get both wins, they could actually slide in the first place in the National League East. But it's going to be a tough, tall order. And then, of course, the last prediction, this one's a little more interesting, not quite sports-related, but along the Royals line, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex will be married 5 years from now. They'll still be married. So the first question is to our listening audience, who's the Duke and Duchess of Sussex? Who in the world, what team is that? So we know who that is. That's Prince Harry and now I guess Princess Markle or Princess Meghan. Not to be confused with Super Referee Craig Muckle. So Princess Meghan and so I gotta tell you, 5 years is a long time. It's a long time. I mean, it'd be 2023. 50-50 on the marriage thing. But I'll tell you what, I think they're still together. And here's why. I think they're still together because the clips I saw was a guy looking at his woman, and he told her she looked unbelievable. She held his hand, and according to the news commentators, Anderson Cooper was going crazy. Gaga. He said she was holding his hand tighter as the moment came. I don't know how he would know that. I got them still together in 2023, Joy Henry. What do you think? What you got?
What a prediction, and what a way to segue from sports and talk about the life of sport and the predictions and the percentages of 50-50% and that kind of stuff. And if you look at tradition, if you look at how the past has been in the Royals, I mean, unless death literally and physically do they part, they will be there, I believe, for each other in 5 years. Now, people say, a rumor has it, that there's a doppelganger for Meghan Markle, that there's somebody out there that looks just like her. So maybe something is in the stars for that particular individual. I'm not going to name any names or talk about the different similarities, not just the physical resemblance, but the actual athletic prowess. Now, I hear that Meghan is a yogi. She practices it. She actually used to run. But she said it's a little bit tough on her knees now. She's getting older, and she's actually been in that field. Definitely Prince Harry loves sports, so they're just great sports together. And so I just think that they'll continue to be great teammates and great partners in life.
So your prediction is 2023, because we could go back and rewind this show. In 2023, you're predicting they'll still be together.
Definitely, as the doppelganger, I've heard again through the stars and the birds have been chirping, and I heard a little birdie say, someone who looks like Meghan Markle has inside information to know that this is a same charm. So I'm going to go for five to affinity and beyond.
Well, I think so too, and I hope, bringing it back to sports, I hope that they buy a soccer franchise and bring it to the United States and make soccer the game that everyone thought it was going to be so wildly popular. I think it's popular playing it, but I don't see the D.C. United. They do a good job around here, but it just doesn't have the popularity that it had in merry old England. So maybe they use their, you know, their startup to start up a new team, and boom, the sky's the limit. So great stuff, good stuff. Hey, we definitely, I want to take a moment. First of all, thank you, Joy, for joining us. It gets harder and harder to get guests, especially in the summertime, people vacationing and this and that. So for you to come in and do the entire show with us, we appreciate that, Joy. So thank you for that. I definitely want to thank our listeners, especially the ones that listen every week. And that's for a guy like you, who's out there every week. He comes on right at 10 o'clock, and he's on and he stays on the entire show. get us some more listeners. You want to turn the show into an hour of New York sports talk, we'll do it. You know, we aren't Francesca and Mad Dog, but we're better. So if you want to do that, great, great, have at it. And then finally, I just want to say this week is going to be another busy week. I actually sold a book this week, a book. So I got to keep pressing that fact. So, hey, if you haven't gotten the book, it's on e-book now. So please go to the website, www.extrapointllc.com, for more information on how you can get our book. And then the other thing, Fifth with Joy and I are working hard to get to bring some a new sports team of our own to the DMV. So we're in initial meetings right now, but we'll be looking for some sponsors. It'd be great if we could get a sponsor for this show. That would be a huge launching pad for us and for that endeavor. So we look forward to that. George, where can folks find you? Like we lost her here. Let's see. Hold on one second. There you go.
Can you hear me?
So yes. Where can we find
Sorry.
You?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was in the process of giving that information as Joy. It's on Twitter at Joy Hilarity. Yeah, so Joy Hilarity is where you can find me. You can DM me if you have any questions about tips or any kind of sport, particularly track and field, staying in shape. You don't want to particularly be an athlete or go professional or anything of that nature. You just want to shed some pounds, get some training in. You can DM me there. And can check me out on my online portfolio, joyhenry.weebly.com, spelled W-E-E-B-L-Y. So feel free to reach out to me. I am not a person that's going to bite. I will definitely give you as much insight as possible.
Very good, very good. And, hey, we're also going to try and talking to some folks at a small company, sell tennis shoes and sunglasses. And they got a big swoosh. So I'm trying to talk to them about, if not sponsorship, definitely some guest appearances on the show down the road. So I'm looking forward to that. And, hey, next week, another show. It'll be a Memorial Day show. So if you got any ideas about what we could do for Memorial Day, we're always looking for bigger and better ideas. You can reach me at Coach, C-O-A-C-H, at ExtraPointLLC.com, and then of course on Twitter at ExtraPointLLC. That's at ExtraPointLLC. Looking forward today. Get your bet going. Try and find a horse that's not like 50-1, because that's too greedy. But find one that's in the middle of the road. Get your bet. Get in front of the TV and watch the horse run around in the mud. It doesn't get better than that on Saturday. Hey. We are just about out of here. I'm about to hit the button. But as always, thanks for listening. The extra point is up.
And it is royally good.
Vintage moment in it. In the end zone.